Psalm 146, last five chapters of the scriptures of Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150, all are songs of praise. They're all about praise. And our theme this year is rejoice in the Lord always. So over the next 5 weeks, we're just going to kind of go verse by verse in each of these psalms and see what God is trying to teach us and tell us. Here's the little insight. In our study of praise and worship of the Lord, it's all about the Lord. Many of the psalms over the topic of, it'll say, you know, Psalm 141, a psalm of David, or something like that. It attributes an author to many of the psalms. There's some disputes. You talk to different people who wrote Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, 150. No conclusive information has been given. Could have been David, could have been, honestly, it could have been Zechariah. Some even say Haggai. Doesn't matter. It's about the Lord Jesus. It's about God Himself. And so I guess the point of that is we need to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then regardless of who said it, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's read Psalm 146 this morning. And then I hope you brought your Bibles this morning. If not, we're going to be going to a bunch of verses. So if you don't get there by the time I read, that's okay. Just stop and listen, and you'll get a blessing. That way. So we'll read Psalm 146, verses 1 through 10, the whole chapter. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto God, unto my God, while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. Lord, open the eyes of the blind. Lord, raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Israel, or O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for giving us something to praise you over. God, you're wonderful. You're powerful. God, we need you. Lord, forgive us for ever thinking for a moment that we are sufficient in ourselves. God, we need you more than ever before. And God, I pray that these verses here this morning will remind us to praise you, to lift your name up, to exalt you, to put you high and holy. And God, help us to stay humble. Lord, we need your help with that. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 146, what a great psalm for us. Again, easy to read. You can read the whole entire thing in just a couple moments, but there is a lot there that we'll try and unpack quickly, efficiently. As I said, Psalm 46, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. Hey, there's going to be stuff that comes into your life that is going to try and vie for your worship and your praise. Hey, give me attention away from God. There's just things. A lot of it's our flesh. But praise is about God. Praise is to extol in words or song, to magnify, to glorify an account of God's perfections or excellent works. Man, what a great definition that is. We've seen that before. And here's what helps us with our worship and our praise. Worship and praise goes up. See, what does that mean? It's not about what you like. It's about what God likes. Praise and worship is about finding out who God is, what He has done, what He continues to do, and acknowledging that. It's not about you. So I don't like praise then, because I like everything about me. That's not what praise is. Praise is about who God is. We need to get that into our mind, into our perspective. Again, worship goes up, not down. When your praise is purposed in exalting the Lord. It takes a lot out of, hey, what do I want out of praise? What do I get out? I didn't necessarily feel. It's about worshiping God. It's about lifting His name up. That's the most important thing. So let us ask ourselves this morning, what pleases the Lord? Are we about that? Does your life praise God? If we just stopped with that thought, and if we walked out of here, when I walk out of these doors today, I'm going to ask myself the question, does my life praise God? Am I doing things that pleases the Lord? Am I about obedience to what God has said? Does my life demonstrate worship to God? In my life, is God where He should be and I where I should be? Say, what does that look like? That looks like God, the most holy, preeminent thing. And we worry most about what He thinks rather than what I think. That's what praise is about. And that's what we're in, that's our opening. That's what we start with. Praise ye, not the man, not the wife, not the kids. Praise ye the Lord. Can we praise our children? Absolutely. Well done. You did so good with that. And words of encouragement and affirmation, 100%. But be careful, there are things that come into our life that steal praise that should be given to God. There's thieves of praise. It's our flesh. It's what do I want? No, how about this? What does God want? As we continue the Psalm 146, let us look in verse 2, the longevity of praise. Number 1, in verse 1, we saw the object of praise. Now we see the longevity of praise. While I live, while I praise the Lord, I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. That means whatever state I am. That means, Brother Haight, where are you? There. You might be in the hospital bed looking up. I'm going to praise Him. That might be some of the darkest, hardest times of your life. If I have a being, I'm going to praise Him. The longevity, while I have being. Praise is for here and for every day. Look at, hold your hand in Psalm 146. We're going to come back to that. Go with me to Psalm 63. Did God get praise from you this morning? So, well, we sang some songs. Well, that's good. How about tomorrow, though? When the alarm clock goes off and it's time to get up for work at maybe some ridiculous hour, or maybe your job is like, hey, just as long as you get your work done, come on in. And Monday mornings you can roll in at 10. Praise the Lord. Is He going to get praise tomorrow? Is He going to get praise Tuesday? Well, Wednesday we come back to church, so He'll get praise. Does He get praise from us every day? Psalm 63, look at verse 4. It says, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Remember, what is praise and worship about? It's about exalting God. It's about pointing people to the Lord. Hey, while you're alive, do you praise the Lord? Psalm 104, verse 33, I'll read it to you. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. While I'm here, I can't control a lot of circumstances, but I can control this. God is going to be praised with my life, with my mouth. I'm going to sing to Him. I'm going to worship Him in heart, in song, in action. You know that you were created to praise Him. Look at Revelation chapter number 4. Some people, in just who they are just better at things than other things. And that doesn't make a person better. They're just better at certain things. For instance, basketball. No, I'm 5'6 3/4. We round up 5'7". Basketball's not for me. Where's Primer? Primer's like, oh yeah, we can make it work. He's probably out there. Yeah, he's quick. Hey, I'm just not gonna. Don't ever come to this and go, Well, I just wasn't created to praise God. No, as long as I have being, as long as I'm in this thing, as long as I have a heart and a heartbeat, I'm going to use that to praise God. That's what it says. I will sing in the Lord as long as I live. Whether you're 85 or 8 and a half, it doesn't matter. Praise God with your life. That's what this is about. Praising Him. Look at Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy. Isn't that true? Hey, God's worthy of our praise. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And where's He going to get that from? Who's going to give Him the glory? Who's going to give Him the honor? The Bible says this, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Hey, praise isn't about what I like. It's about what God likes. And He created you and I to praise Him how He likes. He wants His name lifted up. When things are going in your life, hey, be careful that you not steal the praise and the credit and the glory. Hey, let me tell you about what the great things I did. No, how about we talk about the great things God is and what He has done? You were created for that purpose. Over the years, I've talked to a lot of people, a lot of young people. That 18 to 25-year-old age is a tough time period in your life. Because when you're up to 18, every morning you get up, you know exactly what you're doing. You're boarding a big yellow school bus and you're coming to school. And you're getting information, Liam, jammed into your brain, to which we want you to recite it within a couple hours. Right? It's called coming to school. Liam, do you go to school? Yes. Okay, great. Do you come here? Oh, that's great. Okay. So thankful for Liam. We love Liam. But you get out of high school and all of a sudden it's like, whoa. No yellow school bus shows up in my house anymore. I'm not told I have to wear a beautiful maroon polo and khaki. I can wear whatever I want. Go wherever I want. I can do whatever I want. And you're like, whoa, free. You talk to some young adults with that, though. Why am I here? You talk to a 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. You remember that time period in your life. What is my purpose? You talk to a lot of people that don't know that answer. Why is it that you're here on this earth? What is your purpose? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. That's me. That's you. And for Thy pleasure, they are and were created. You were created to praise God. Amen. You were created to serve Him. And the quicker you can get on board with that, and the quicker you can satisfy that and figure out what it is, to what capacity God desires that you would serve Him, oh man, the better off. The sooner you can do that, the better. Hey, praise Him right here for every day. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Is that true? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, which is quick. Lou, that's quick. The last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. For this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Hey, one day this body that decays over time, this mortal body will put on immortality. This corruption will put on incorruption. Verse 54. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hey, one day this body's gonna go away, saying, oh good, finally I'll get a chance to stop praising God. Soon my purpose will change. This being will no longer be required to praise God for everything. Oh, no, no, no. Although the outside may change, the purpose will still be the same. Revelation chapter number 7. Hey, just get on board with praising the Lord, because that's what eternity is going to be like. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. of all the nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Say, I don't like praising the Lord. You're going to hate eternity. Hate it. Hey, get used to it. Use your being now in this day, because one day this body, this corruptible, this mortal is put on immortality, and we're going to have all eternity to praise God. Man, what a great thing that is. The object of praise, that is God. The longevity of praise. Every day and hereafter. Go back to Psalm 146. Psalm 146. Ever have your children walk into the make this announcement? They walk into the kitchen, open up the cupboards, and they announce, they look in the refrigerator, there's nothing to eat. Anybody ever hear that? Children sent me, I think it was a message Friday night. There's no food. I said, there's tons of food. There's no junk food.
Yeah.
Got it. And sometimes we come to the Lord, Lord, I have nothing to praise you over. Hey, let's open up the cupboards a minute. Let's just go through for a second. Let's remember this. Hey, let's look at Psalm 146 and verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. And that very day his thoughts perish. Number one, we saw the object of our praise. Number two, the longevity of our praise. Number three, I want to draw our attention to the futility of man. So what does that mean? Would you rather trust God or man? Well, it asks us the question, hold again in Psalm 146, let's look at Psalm 118, look at verse 9 or 8. Psalm 118, just a few pages back in verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence, what, in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Hey, if your hope is in the government, you're in trouble. If your hope is in your neighbor, you're in trouble. Hey, we can live next to great people, but our confidence and our hope better be in the Lord Jesus Christ and God himself. Why? Because man lets us down. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17, turning to the right in your Bibles. Jeremiah 17. This great old prophet says this in verse 5, thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 17, 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath. What is the heath? That's like a bush or a small shrubbery in the desert. And shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land and not inhabited. Say, what does that mean? That means if you're looking to man for your help, you're going to be like that little bush in the desert that you're dying for some water and some sustenance. And what's going to happen? You're just going to wither and turn into the dust. Why? Because there's no help in man. God says, I'm your help. I'm your help. I'm here to help you. Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Thankful for the word of God that encourages us, right? Pastor, you're using a lot of verses this morning. Where else can we go? Man. Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Hey, if you're putting your hope and trust in a person, if all you have, all your stock is in a person, hey, you're in trouble. But God says, you can trust me. You can put your confidence in me. I'm a refuge. I'm a rock. You can build on me. You can hide behind me. I'll protect you. I got all of these things. Man can't do that. Man's destined end is to go back. Hey, this body's going to turn back into dust. You better have faith and trust in the Lord, because he's trustworthy. That's the next verse, Psalm 145 or 146 in verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Hey, verse 3 and 4 reminded us, no help in man. If you're hoping that the princes are going to figure this thing out, you're going to be waiting a long time. Say, how long? A little thing called the millennium. Till the Lord Jesus Christ himself comes back, second advent, puts his feet on this ground again, and rules and reigns justly and righteously for 1,000 years. The answer is always Jesus. God is trustworthy, man is not. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob, and whose help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Man is futile, God is trustworthy. It uses this word happy. 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 It's not a word that shows up too many times in your Bible. 28 times to be exact, happy. Another similar word to happy is blessed. The word blessed shows up 302 times in your Bible. God wants me to be miserable. No, he wants you to be happy. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have joy. Joy comes from obedience to God. Happiness comes from trusting in the Lord. No, happiness will come from the satisfaction of the flesh. Wrong. If you're seeking the pleasures of this life to satisfy the need only God can provide, you're going to come up, I promise you, at the end, wanting. You'll have spent, you'll have wasted, only to come at the end with nothing left. You put your hope and faith and trust in the Lord, happy. Happy. God is trustworthy. Psalm 144, one page back probably, if not on the same page. Psalm 144 and verse 15. Happy is that people that is, in such case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. John 1:12. Is God real? Yes, he is. Is salvation available to all men? It is. Does everyone accept the gift? They do not. It being Mrs. Beardsley's birthday, and we got her a fake pumpkin. And here we are, and we bring this pumpkin to her and say, here you go. And she's like, you know, actually, I have like a dozen of these at the house. I don't really want a fake pumpkin. And although the gift was purchased and ready to be given, it doesn't transfer unless she receives it. God is available. God is trustworthy. But you got to put your trust in him. Say, I thought those were real. They are not real. In John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Hey, God's real, and God is trustworthy. You just got to trust in him. It said this in our verse, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I'm going to ask you, God is real, but is he your God? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Say, is that communion? No, not at all. We're sinners. Say, I've sinned, but I haven't done the bad ones. The Bible says if we've broken one law, we've broken the entire thing. Because just one breaking of one law puts us in a status of sinner. And what's the problem with sinner? There's an eternal consequence to that. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God knew that, and he sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross to pay for your sin, who knew no sin, it says about him. That if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sin, you know what he will? He'll do that. If you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he'll be that to you. But it takes a humbling. It takes a repentance for whosoever, right? It's anybody. It's available to anybody. Short, praise the Lord. Tall, praise the Lord. Wide, not wide. Rich, poor, man, woman, white, black, red, yellow, green, doesn't matter. This country, that country, no, doesn't matter. But you got to believe in your heart. So I'll just say a prayer. No, it's not just saying a prayer. It's believing in your heart. It's available. God is trustworthy. He's a God that's available, but have you received him? Psalm 71, verse 5, for thou art my hope, O Lord God. Psalm 71, verse 5, thou art my trust from my youth. Man, this is a thing. I can come over here to Benjamin. He might be the youngest one. Maybe Maya over here. How old are you, Benjamin? 15, Maya? 14. All right, so we come to our youth over here. Oh, we have Nathaniel. How old are you, Nathaniel? 12. All right, I'm jumping over to him. So we can come to him and say, listen, hey, Nathaniel, listen to this. This is a good verse for you. You can put your hope and trust in God. This isn't just something for adults. We can teach our children this. God is trustworthy. You know when the best time to teach people that God is trustworthy? As early as you can. Because there's going to come times, even in Nathaniel's life, that he's going to need to lean on something real strong. And it's good for even a young man to know the Lord himself. 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 21. First Peter 1:21 says this, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That's a desire. That your faith. That's the thing about being a Christian. It's personal. Have you put your faith and trust in them? Well, my parents, no. You. The Bible says every one of us shall stand before God. Every one of us is going to have to give an account of himself to God. What have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your God? Psalm 146 again. Object of our praise is God himself. The longevity of our praise every day throughout eternity. The futility of man, but God is trustworthy. Verse 6. Psalm 146 and verse 6. I'm a little nervous. We've been here for a while, and you're only halfway through the chapter. It'll speed up. Maybe. Psalm 146, verse 6. Which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. How do I know that I can trust God? Can he handle my situation? Well, the Bible says this. He made heaven and earth and the sea. And he keeps something forever. Truth. Well, if he can handle that. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He created it. He didn't just make it. He created it out of nothing. I bet he can handle my anxiety. I bet he can handle my fears. I bet he can handle my impatience. I bet he can help me with all these things. Psalm 100 and verse 5. Psalm 100 and verse 5. God in his omnipotence. That's a big word for being all-powerful. Bible says in Psalm 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Kind of like how we were talking to Nathaniel there for a second. The truth is good from generation to generation. Good for longevity. It's good for family. Say, I don't, you know, the investment ideas of a generation ago are a little bit different than today. The principles are still the same, but what you were telling people to buy into then or to get involved in, you wouldn't necessarily give that advice today. But the truth of the Word of God is good every day from generation to generation. So as God in His omnipotence, which made heaven and earth, the Bible says, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. Keeps truth forever. Jeremiah 32. These verses are just so good. I don't feel like I can skip one. I promise you, every time I look at this, I just kind of throw up a quick prayer. Lord, you want me to just go on to the next one? But I don't feel like that. Psalm 32 and verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. God in his omnipotence, all power, can handle our situation. John chapter 14. He is the keeper of truth. John chapter 14 and verse 6. John 14, 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, who likes to be lied to? Abby, where's Abby? She'll tell her brother. She's like, don't lie to me. Like, you want to do something, you could burn her room down, but lying to her, she'll pinch you. And that hurts. No one likes being lied to. Jesus says, I'm truth. That's who I am. I'm truth. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Isn't it good that you can go to God and knowing that what he said is true? Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. That by two immutable things, immutable means not able to change, in which it is impossible, impossible for God to lie. If I told you it's going to snow today, would you say that's impossible? No. We live in Rochester. If I told you it's going to snow in the morning and then by afternoon it's going to be 85 degrees, you'd say, I've seen that. I believe that. That's not impossible. Hey, God says it's impossible for me to lie. He is the keeper of truth for eternity. That's pretty good news. Titus 1:2 says this, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. I got to show you these verses. Job 38. What are we talking about here this morning? We're talking about praise. Praising God for who he is. And let us follow our thoughts again. God is the object of our praise, the longevity of our praise, every single day. And God's going to change his body one day and make it immortal. And even then, we will be praising him. Man will let us down. God is trustworthy. God is in his omnipotence, his power, his strength, his creation. Is worthy of our praise. Job 38. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Who's talking without knowing what they're talking about? Ever talk to your children who spout some sort of, they speak with one of authority, but what they're saying is just not true? Ever listen to the news and come away with that? God is asking the question, who's having such foolish conversation without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Hey, I'm going to ask you some questions. I would like you to answer this. What was it like when I laid the foundations of the earth? Crickets. That's how that answer should go. I remember my mom would, when I learned the rhetorical question, she would ask you a question and you'd go to answer and whack. And I said, whoa, don't answer that. Sorry. Thought it was a question. Verse 5. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, for all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as it, if it had an issue out of the womb? And I made the cloud the garment thereof, the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. Why does the water stop there? Because God said so. Amen. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? Why'd the sun rise this morning? Because God told it to. You tell the sun to stop. And caused the dayspring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. And we could go on and on and on. Hey, God that made heaven and earth is trustworthy. He laid the foundations. Yeah, but I think, hold on a second. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? How about you just do what you do, and we allow God to do what he does? See, what is that? God makes everything work. We trust him and praise him. Back to Psalm 146. Aren't those great verses? How do you just skip over those? You can't. Psalm 146. We're almost done. Like, soon. Verse 7 through 9. Does that help? Which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord opened the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. God is the object of our praise for all our days. Man is, you can't trust man, but you can trust God. Ever been given a promise and then someone went back on it? Sure. Not by God, though. God is trustworthy. He is all powerful. And God is the God of judgment. God's judgment, can I draw our attention to God's judgment here? Aren't you glad God's different than you and I? When God looks at things and he sees the hungry, he doesn't say, see, that's what you got coming. He says, I'm going to feed you. He giveth food to the hungry and looseth the prisoners. Never once have I ever met anybody that said, this weekend, for fun, I'm going to jail. No one puts themselves in prison. They are put in prison by their own wrongdoings. And Christ said, God says, I'm going to loose them. Hey, have you made bad decisions in your life, reaping the consequences of that? God says, I can loose you from that. I can set you free from that. Isn't that a blessing? The one that, listen now, Psalm 103, verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Isaiah 61. Grab Isaiah 61 and then Luke chapter number 4. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening, the prison, to them that are bound. Praise the Lord, that was you and I. By our own decisions, we chose sin and dealt with the consequences of that. And Christ came by and opened those prison doors like we sang about. And can it be? And then Luke chapter number 4, verse 18. Christ in the synagogue says, bring me a scroll. I'd like to read something. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor in verse 18. And he sent me to heal the broken. He quotes Isaiah 61. That's what Jesus did for you and I. When Jesus and God the Father have every single right to leave us in prison, to leave us hungry, to leave us to wallow in our sin, he decides, I'm going to execute judgment and I'm going to make a way for them to get out. Praise the Lord for that. When the one that has all right to bring judgment down, you know what he chooses? Mercy. He chooses to forgive. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Verse 18. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger, and giving him food and raiment. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Hey, I wandered in this world for a while. And the Lord came by. And yeah, he executed judgment, all right. And he decided to pour out grace and mercy and love. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Got nothing to praise the Lord over. All right, let's go together and open up the cabinets for a minute. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hey, those that were set free from prison, those that were loosed from the consequences of their sin, what should they do? They should praise God. They should praise God because of God's judgment. James 1:27. Hebrews James. It's a few pages back. We were so close. Why not? Pure religion, undefiled before God and the fatherless is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, to keep himself unspotted from the world. Again, the very God who had every right, it would have been just to leave us in our sin. Chose, no, I'm going to execute judgment. And in my judgment, I'm going to distribute grace and mercy and love. Last verse, Psalm 146 and verse 10. Verse 10. The Lord shall reign forever. Even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise ye the Lord. In Exodus 15, 18, in the Song of Moses, Moses says this, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. In Revelation 1, 8, it says this, Christ says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Last verse, Revelation 11, 5. The eternity of praise. Revelation 11 and verse 15. The seventh angel sounded. Revelation 11, 15. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. You're holding the end of the book there. Psalm 146 and verse 10 ends with, in light of all that, it starts the same way, it ends the same way it began. Praise the Lord. We are created to praise him. Our praise ought to go to God every single day. Not just on church days, not just on days that we're in the church house, every single day. we ought to praise the Lord in our being, because He is trustworthy, because He is omnipotent, He is the Creator. When He could have executed a damning judgment, He set us free. And He will rule and reign for all eternity. What a great God we serve. I ask you again, two questions. Does your life praise God? Number two, is He your God? Oh, He's available. But have you made Him your God? Let's all stand. I have something called an invitation. When I open this up, maybe you just want to come in prayer and praise Him. God, thank you for setting me free. Thank you for opening those prison doors. I should be there. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. Hey, if you've never been saved before, if you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, say, I don't know what you're talking about with that. If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? I don't know. Well, the Bible says that we can know. Not because we've done something good, but because He did something good. He paid your debt. It's like filling up a shopping cart and going to Wegmans and the cashier saying, nope, that's been paid, the whole thing. I have a sin debt that I couldn't pay. I needed the Lord Jesus Christ. Putting your faith and trust in Him, forgiving us. If you've never done that before, the Bible says salvation is today. If you don't know for sure, and I would love to talk with you and show you those things. As a Christian, does your life praise the Lord? Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation now. And God, I pray that you'd stir in our hearts through Psalm 146, those 10 verses, God, of just who you are, who we are, how you are worthy of all our praise. Lord, we love you. Bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning? Does your life praise God? Praising the Lord is a choice with all my being. If you're here today and you don't know for sure about eternity, hey, that's not something you want to mess with. That's not something you want to mess with. God is trustworthy. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Pastor, what do you have to say? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's a good thing. Pastor, I don't want to cast doubts on you, but next week I looked ahead and Psalm 147 has 20 verses. It took you a while to get through 10. Can you give us a word of encouragement that it won't be... God is good, and He is worth praising. I'm not saying how long the message will be, but we won't go. We'll try and group them together a little bit better. But can I just read you what's coming? Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praises comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart.
How about that?
He bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of stars. He calleth them by all their names. We got some good stuff coming. And the Lord is good and worthy of praise. And the more we get a good and right view of who God is and who I am, that just helps put everything in order. I invite you to come back next Sunday. We have service tonight. Youth choir practice, 5 o'clock tonight. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the sons of Solomon. Some didn't make some great decisions, and we're going to look at that, and hopefully that will be a help to you. Appreciate you being here. Mr. Parrott brought in some books in the kitchen, and Jesse Beal, missionary for how many years was he in Ukraine? A bunch, yeah. A long time. He's older now and lives in the area and kind of thinning out his library. If you'd like, go take a book. And there's a lot of good books on that counter. Opposite of the counter are some Bibles that people have left here. It's not like free Bible to anybody who wants it. It's come retrieve your Bible, please. If you, by accident, have taken someone else's Bible that's not yours, can you put it back? Because we had someone coming and say, I left my Bible here, I don't know where it is, and we went to the Bible pickup area, and it's not there. So maybe, again, it's not just like, hey, I need a new Bible, here's one that someone doesn't want. We're asking people to take Bibles that are theirs home, all right? If you need a Bible and don't have a Bible, come see me. We have tons of, we have a bunch of Bibles. Love to get a Bible in your hand. How could you be expected to? It's so great to have the truth in your hands.
Yeah.
And it'll help you 1,000 times over. And Word of God is powerful. And as we heard yesterday, reminded, sharper than any two-edged sword. So let us pray and we'll be dismissed before the nursery workers storm the gates. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for how good you are to us. God, thank you just, God, who you are.
Yeah.
And your very character, your holiness, your righteousness, your power, your omniscience, your knowledge. God, thank you. Thank you that that throne will never be undone. Thank you that you will reign forever and ever. Lord, you're a great God. Thank you that you're my God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to use our voices, our life, to praise you. Lord, we need you more than ever before. And I ask you, watch over us now, protect us as we travel home, bring us back safely. This evening, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you. Have a good afternoon. See you tonight. Youth Choir 5.